Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
Esme and Vivian on The Purge Season 2. Like, they set the whole thing up where, like, Vivian was, like, obsessed with Esme and was just, like, always, okay. Like, trying to get her to go get coffee with her and, like, doing all this risky business just for Esme to end up with some, like, nobody that, like, has nothing to do with, like, out of nowhere, they just head-rode the shit out of that storyline. But it should have been Vivian and Esme, so, but no, like, shade to season 2 of The Purge, the series. It was actually pretty good.
Okay, we'll see you.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? What's good?
Nothing. Just drowning off of a, like, week-long TV binge. I'm back to me.
A TV binge?
I just haven't stopped watching, like, full series for, like, a long time.
Okay, like, what have you seen?
Most recent one was Cruel Summer. It's just one season. It's on Hulu. There is a little bit of a gay payoff, which is why I ended up watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, you know, mystery, like, crime, like, type of show. So, obviously, I'm into that kind of thing. It was better than expected. It was actually pretty good.
What?
And before that, it took me, like, probably, like, almost like, a full week to finish Downton Abbey.
Wait, how many seasons of Downton Abbey are there?
Six.
What the fuck?
And the episodes are, like, an hour and some change long. Like, every episode's a fucking movie.
Oh my god, what the like, my mom and you, that would be a fun conversation.
I'd love to talk to your mom about anything. I watched it, I don't know, I've been watching, like, it's just a lot of TV. I mean, obviously Generation's back, Betty's back, a lot of stuff's back. So Why Women Kill is back, The Good Fight is back, just everything.
Everything is back for you. Lucky, you're being fed. Like, I feel like it's crumbs on this side. Like, not much happening in film. I mean, very cool things are happening, but, like, we've gotten some shitty things first, like, in the Heights. Oh, okay. But, I mean, you know, good things like Fast and the Furious, which I'm obviously going to watch.
What the?
It's straight camp. Like, I'm like, no, it's gay for me, though, because my gay ass gaze, you know, I'm just like, nope, the female gaze is all over this for me. But yeah,
that's interesting. But you're right. You should be getting some more stuff soon, considering Zola came out. I guess it'll be yesterday for you guys that are listening to you, and tomorrow for us. I'm really excited to watch that movie. I've been, like, waiting for this since that Twitter thread in, like, 2017 or whatever the fuck.
We were both on Twitter at the time while it happened live. Like, y'all don't understand. It was a moment.
It really was. Like, everyone was talking about Zola. And, like, it wasn't about Zola, the daughter on Grey's Anatomy. It was about Zola, like, on Twitter.
So, Zola on Twitter.
It was a wild thread. So it was, like, I'm excited.
It's y'all don't understand.
It's I also, like, read into it a little bit, and how the main character, or one of the main characters, she at first had turned down the role because it was written by this, like, I think, like, a white guy or something, and she was just not into the script. She was like, this script, you know, is and sounds like it was written by some white guy. So
damn.
They put in the work and, like, changed the script, presented it to her, and she was like, okay, you guys fixed it. Like, I'm in now. So after that, like, very interested to see where they went with it. And it's being directed by an Afro-Latina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
So cool. Fuck yeah. So, I mean, I'm very stoked to see this shit.
I'm watching it tonight. When this comes out, I'm watching it tonight. Yep.
Oh, on Thursday. I was thinking
Thursday.
Because it actually is playing here in LA tonight.
It's playing tonight here too at, like, a pre-screening, but, like, we just, because we're recording. So I'm going to go on Thursday instead. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
Or today. I'm going.
I'm going to try to go tomorrow, but I might wait a little bit because, like, everything's opened up and, like, they don't have the restricted seats anymore. So I want to go during a time where I don't have to sit next to people that I don't know
in the theater. That's smart. That's smart. Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll see what kind of tickets I can get.
Yeah, we're going in a big group, so it's like, I'm going to sit in between.
Protected.
I'm going to sit protected.
That Delta variant is real. Wear your masks indoors again, guys, even if you're vaccinated. People, like, 50% of the cases of the Delta variant, like, are vaccinated people, so it's wild.
Yeah, put on your mask, y'all. It's wild out here in Texas, so no one has their mask on, dude. It's literally just, like, me. It's really weird. It's really weird. People need to get on it.
People are not, yeah.
It's strange.
Oof. In other news, last week, a episode of a podcast called Meet Cute came out for Pride Month, and it starred me and Cynthia, which is fucking wild.
That was really fun.
Yeah, it was interesting to do some voice acting for a change, I guess. I couldn't listen to it. I was like so cringing at myself. It was too hard, but we'll link that episode. It's called Left on Red. We'll link it if you guys want to listen to this awkwardly, like, do a meet cute episode where, yeah, it's just awkward.
Y'all don't understand, like, we legit, like, fell in love during this episode. Oh, like, God. It was so funny. I loved it. It was a laugh. I had a lot of fun listening to me and you fall in love. Oh, dude.
That shit was funny. Go check that out. Also, have you seen Growing Fangs on Disney?
Yes, of course I've seen it. It was perfect. What'd you think?
It's so cute. It was really, really cute. I don't know why I was under the impression that it was going to be either a series or a movie, but it was a short. It was tiny. Cristela was in it. Yep. It was really, really, really cute. I hope they do more with it. They probably won't. It's one of those, like, Disney shorts, and it's gay, and it's Latinx, and it's all these things. So go check out Growing Fangs. But speaking of Cristela.
Yeah, speaking of Cristela, I saw her this weekend. It was great. I got to see her at the Addison Improv, and it was like, I took my mom. It was a whole thing. But yeah, it was, she still got it. She's still funny to me. I don't know. And this was like mainly a white crowd, and even they were laughing at her jokes.
Oh,
like, while she was making fun of them. So either it's just like a lot of cool motherfuckers in a room, or I mean, I think she's still funny. We never stopped thinking she was funny, though.
No,
that's
I never stopped.
Our opinion never changed on her. And she's amazing. And I would say this is more about, like, healthcare. And she did say that she's going to record, like, a Netflix special, hopefully. I think.
Oh, cool.
If I'm correct. She's filming that, so I'm excited.
That's really fun. I'm like, I don't know. I have a lot of anxiety about, like, leaving my apartment these days, so I usually don't. But one thing that I did commit to leaving this apartment for was a comedy show, like, in a week or so, and I'm actually really excited for it. It's like, the main person doing it is Danielle Perez, who's this amazing lady, so I'm really looking forward to that.
That's exciting. That's really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Luca also came out on Disney. It's like the little kid version of Call Me by Your Name.
I saw it.
You saw it?
Yeah,
everyone was crying. Did you cry?
I didn't cry, not even like at all. No, even a little bit.
Come on, Pisces, you didn't cry.
No, I didn't. I mean, I was sitting there eating like K barbecue in my apartment. I didn't have any feelings that day, I guess.
Okay, I mean that's understandable. I haven't seen it yet. It just came out. And
you haven't seen it yet?
I've not seen it. I'm a bad gay. I'm late, especially since this is all like for me. But I think something came out last weekend, and I think I just got addicted to Mayor of Easttown. That's what I've been watching.
Oh, Mayor of Easttown was really good.
Oh my God, that shit is so good. I just didn't think. Look, I shouldn't have doubted it. And it's gay too.
Yeah, there's a gay chick in it. It's that was fun. That was good. That was a good time.
Yeah, that's a good fucking show. And I guess to wrap it up, Pride's over, dude.
Yeah, officially when this comes out, Pride's over. Honestly, the pressure of it was too much, so that's fine. Like, I don't want to be gay anymore.
for me, it's like now I can finally go back to being gay because I'm just like, ew, I'm gonna hide this month and like I don't want to go out and I can be gay at home, like, and then now I'm like, yes, now I want to be gay outside, I want to be gay in the world. But for that month I was like, nah, I'm gonna chill. It's like hot as fuck.
I like how this podcast started out of like wanting to show the queer Latinx like viewpoint, and now just like Latinidad embarrasses us. Yes. Pride embarrasses us. Like every aspect of my identity just embarrasses me, so just stay home. I can't.
Yes, that's exactly. I was thinking about that the other day too. I was just like, damn, like we really started this talking about being Latino or Latinx or whatever the fuck we were saying back then. I think it was the Latinx.
And I think we always said Latinx, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And then, like, now we're like, ew, what does that even mean? Gross. Like, if you're not anti-black, get away from me. Like, I don't even give a fuck. This Latinidad shit is stupid. If you're anti-black, leave. If you're going to be pro-black, face. Like, here you are, right? Like, but,
yeah.
That's fucked up. Are we a queer Latinx podcast or are we just people? No,
apparently we're not queer Latinx enough. So
no, we're not.
It's whatever.
No. It's fine.
Yeah, we're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah, apparently.
Someone else has to go and do our exact job for us.
Exact fuck. Groupies, fans, I know you're listening. This is for you. We do this for you. I'm glad that you have a job. I'm glad
I'm glad you guys are doing that shit for us. Thank you so much. Yeah. We can just stop now.
Yeah, we can chill now. It's happened.
Just phone it in. let's get ready to talk about this stuff if you're down.
I'm down. So today's gonna be fun because both of these movies I feel like are in conversation with each other. Like
100. Yeah.
Like they're really having the same kind of moment in very different like POVs and very different like regions of America, and I think it's really interesting. Maybe like looking back, maybe in like 20 years, you'll be able to actually understand and see what it was to be like young in this time, and hopefully things get better. Hopefully the issues both of them are facing are like fixed, but or it could just get worse. I don't know, dude. It's scary out here. But,
reproductive rights, yo. I mean, it's kind of the topic right now, too, right? With this whole Britney situation, where that came out. Ooh, where,
free like, Britney, pro-choice, y'all. Free Britney.
Pro-choice isn't just, like, the choice to have an abortion. Like, it's the choice to do what you want with your reproductive system. And literally, yep. Her, like, she's being restricted from having children. So, like, people just don't want to look at it as more than, like, this... like really stupid idea of what abortion is and what pro-choice is, but we'll talk about that today.
Yeah. Free Britney y'all, forever, man. And it's fuck everybody in her family is on site, allegedly.
Still mad about Zoe 101. I'll fight everybody right now.
Oh no, I heard messed up stuff about that. Yeah, one
heard that's mess up. All of Nickelodeon, really.
Nickelodeon's icky, and it's on site, man, allegedly.
Off topic.
We really veered off. Sorry, y'all. So, if you couldn't guess by now, I'm going to be talking about Plan B.
On Hulu. On yes. Hulu. I'm talking about Unpregnant on HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Should we do the chronological route?
Yes, like always. I think we should.
All right, sweet. And I guess that means I'm first. Because in the hell year of 2020, we received a film called Unpregnant on HBO Max. And I'm curious, like, I wonder if this wouldn't have gone direct to streaming if it hadn't been for, you know, pandemic year. I don't know. I'm curious. It does kind of almost feel like a streaming movie. I thought it was on Hulu. It feels like a Hulu movie, but it's not. But anyway, here's the main thing that you have to know about Unpregnant. Barbie Ferreira is in it. So yes. I don't think, like, I need to say anything else to convince you to watch it. I'm going to continue only because I want to talk about it, but to be clear, that should be enough. And if you don't know, Barbie Ferreira is that gorgeous woman on Euphoria that plays Kat. Now you should know. Okay. We're going to talk about it now. That's enough, though. Go watch it. So, you know when you, like, you watch a movie and you just, like, you know it's directed by a woman because there's not like male gazy shots of underage girls or man-centered dialogue like in Blockers or like in Booksmart or the other film that we're talking about today, Plan B. Like, this film was directed very clearly by a woman, Rachel Lee Goldenberg, who was weirdly brought into like the Hollywood zeitgeist by Will Ferrell of all people.
What?
Yeah, Will Ferrell. He hired her a few years ago to direct a movie called A Deadly Adoption. It was like a made-for-TV Lifetime movie.
What?
Starring Will Ferrell. And
what?
Yeah.
That's a strange
and
sentence.
Kristen Wiig. And I just have to talk about this movie really quick. Like, I know it's off topic, but not really. It's important to talk about who Rachel Lee Goldenberg is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason that I would have never seen this movie if it wasn't for the fact that I went that year to ATX Television Festival in Austin, and one of the things on the program was like, oh, Will Ferrell's gonna be here and there's gonna be a viewing of his new movie, A Deadly Adoption. And I was like, oh cool, yeah, I'm down to go watch this comedy movie. And it ended up being this wild ass Lifetime-esque movie that was almost like a satire. It pretty much was. It was a satire.
Satire, what?
Where it's like making, it wants to make fun of Lifetime movies and their like weird dramatic turns, but it was Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig, and like it was so like over the top but not too over the top. It was just walking this weird line of funny and like Lifetimey, where you're just like, you feel like you're in another fucking dimension of the world, because you're like, I don't know what this movie is. And I just remember, like, afterwards, there's this, like, Q&A with Will Ferrell and some of the other people on the team. And they were asking them questions because this movie is so bizarre. And one of the questions was about one of the characters who, like, dies and then they never talk about him again. And they're like, so what happened to this dude? Why did he die and you just never talk about him again? And Will Ferrell has a realization of, like, holy shit, that's true. And he starts laughing for, like, 5 minutes straight on this fucking stage in front of these people. It was just the weirdest experience. If you ever just want to have like an out-of-body experience watching a movie and not understanding what's going on, watch A Deadly Adoption. It's so stupid.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard ever, and I have to watch that. That sounds,
yeah, and it's
fun.
Directed by the same person who directed Unpregnant, so that just like, I just, when I found that out, I was like, oh shit, so she knows comedy. You know what I mean? She knows how to put comedy in any situation, which is very necessary for a movie like this. She also directed a few episodes of Everything Is Gonna Be Okay, which is currently streaming on Hulu, and that's a really, really good show. Also funny in like a weird, dramatic, people are dying kind of way. So it's an interesting show, and just an interesting director. So she also co-wrote this film, which was based off of a novel from the same name, and she co-wrote it with like the writers of the original novel, and it was produced by a bunch of like funny white people that are really popular in comedy. So basically, I'm not surprised at how good it is, but I'm also not surprised at how white it is, you know? It's like that give and take.
What the fuck?
I think that's pretty much it on background for this movie. I'll start getting into it in a non-spoilery fashion. The basic premise, once again, this is not a spoiler, like, you know this if you read the summary, you know this if you watch the trailer. The main character, who's Veronica, she's played by Hayley Richardson, she finds out she's pregnant, and she concocts a plan to get unpregnant. It's the name of the movie. It's also a way of not using the word that a lot of conservatives hate, you know, shmabortion. I don't know if you heard that.
Shmabortion.
I kind of want to talk about who are the films that like Rachel Goldenberg cited as inspirations with this movie, and some of them are kind of surprising. One of them is the most obvious, Thelma and Louise. Aesthetically, it looks just like it, right? Like, it's in a cool car, there's a lot of dust, there's a lot of desert, there's a lot of running away and wild shit, right? Like, that's Thelma and Louise. It's like so heavily inspired by that. It also has a lot of similarities on plot to Thelma and Louise. Like, there's random stops and, like, places where they get into shenanigans. There's running from the police and from the law. There's Texas.
It's always Texas.
Yeah. And then there's, like, a little rendezvous with a heartthrob, but that has, like, a nice twist from Thelma and Louise. And, yeah, so a lot of similarities. I'll get into a few more later. But first, let's talk about why is there, like, such a fucking journey to be had just to get a schmabortion. It's because, like, in Missouri, Veronica finds out that, because I think she's underage, she's, like, 17, she has to have a parent consent to her having an abortion. So if she doesn't want to get consent, she has to go to Albuquerque, which is really fucking far. And so Veronica, this main character, what I have to explain first is, she's, like, mad responsible. She uses protection every single time. She gets good grades. She's very type A. She plans everything. Her mom, like, trusts her kind of girl, you know what I mean?
And there's, like, always one. There's always one.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, she just, like, you know, she's very, also very particular about how people see her. Like, she doesn't, she has almost, like, a wall up of, like, this is what you get to see into my life, and that's it, you know? Yeah. So, like, what that means to me, or what that shows to an audience, is that this isn't just some kid who was stupid and, like, got knocked up. This is a really smart kid who did all the right things, but life fucking happens because shit isn't perfect, right? Like, so, I don't know. That's what I kind of enjoy about that character, or the way that they set her up. What comes next is that she has to basically enlist some help from her former friend, Bailey Butler, who is Barbie Ferreira. And she chooses her, we think, at first, because she's the only person other than the guy who impregnated her who knows about her pregnancy. And also because I guess she has nothing going on that weekend. So drama ensues. That's pretty much the end of the non-spoilery shit. So, you know, if you don't want to hear spoilery shit, you can skip forward like 10 minutes or something.
Yay, spoilers! Let's do it! Let's the go. Fun part. The fun part.
I'm sweating, dude. It's hot. I hate, like, not having AC. But anyway. So, like, from the beginning of the road trip, we've got, like, all these fun little overcomable conflicts that pop up. And all of them, all they really serve is, like, to move forward and process the return of this friendship between Veronica and Bailey. Because they weren't friends for a long time, but there's a lot of history. But so we have to, like, inform the audience and get them back together and all that shit. So we find out that the car that Bailey has been driving them in is stolen. And so all of a sudden, they're basically on the run, right? They don't have a car. They're on foot. Bailey tries to bail. She, like, freaks out because she feels like a fuck-up, right? And this is, like, the first Veronica vulnerable moment where she's admitting that she needs her. And she's, like, making a fool of herself to try and, like, keep Bailey with her, which is really sweet and kind of funny. And then after that, we kind of have, like, this major moment of bliss before the big conflict. And I mean, like, if we're gonna have a cute little romantic detour in the story, it might as well be with lesbians, right? So, like, let's do that. So they definitely took from, like, the Brad Pitt moments in Thelma and Louise, like, except the heartthrob in this case is a woman who, like, offers them a ride and doesn't screw them over. So what I don't know. Do you remember that moment where she's just, like, getting out of the race car and, like, her hair is, like, all Justin Bieber? and then Bailey is just, like, staring at her like that's the most amazing thing she's seen in her fucking life. It was amazing. It was a good moment.
That was great to see, like in film, and for it to be, like, two women, like, that's lit.
Yeah. And then Veronica's just like, oh, it's gay. And then they have that roller coaster moment, this, like, amazing moment where they're both obviously, like, they have that in common where Bailey isn't exactly vocal about being gay, and Veronica keeps a lot to herself. This abortion, of course, she's keeping to herself for the most part. and they're both like screaming on this roller coaster, I'm gay. And the other one's like, I'm getting an abortion. And like, they're trying not to be ashamed of these things and destigmatizing them within themselves. So I love that moment too. And then the final amazing moment is where they go to the fun house. And it's like Bailey and this chick, Kira, and they're like, she's like about to have like her first kiss and stuff, and then she asked for consent, which I guess like that's my new kink. I don't know, I was really into that. She's like,
you're really into that. I mean, who isn't?
She's like, she asked Bailey if she can kiss her. I was like, that's important, that's cool. I've seen that a lot more in recent TV and film where they're like, you know, stating these things instead of just like shoving themselves on a person.
Betty's doing that pretty well.
Oh, are they? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Betty's doing that. I was really shocked.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I remember what you're talking about now. Yeah, it's I enjoy that. Even though I know that, like, in real life, it's not always like that. It's cool to, like, see it on screen and make it feel less awkward and, you know, seeing a good representation of it, because maybe it should be a little more embedded in our day-to-day. Not that we do that day-to-day, but anyway.
Hey, maybe you do, but
if you do, then you're living life, bro.
Wow. Yeah, you're having you're wild, and that's what. Oh, anyways, sorry.
So no, you're good. So Goldenberg also cited as her one of the inspirations as Get Out, which I was like, what the fuck.
That's okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was like, that I don't get it, but whatever, I'll keep watching some more. And basically the extent of it, it must be this moment that she's talking about, because they end up rejecting the ride from the lesbian lover, and instead they hitch like a full ride all the way to Albuquerque allegedly with this like family, this like real stand-up looking family. But you know, you can't trust people, all right, just because they have a little kid and a little thing, like, you can't trust them.
It's a cover.
Exactly, it's like whack. But anyways, this family basically kidnaps them because they know that Veronica's getting an abortion, and they like take her to their little house, and Bailey goes exploring through the house, and that's where the, I guess, alleged Get Out moment happens.
Oof.
Where like,
oh yeah, I see it now.
They go into she goes into the little room, and it's like pro-life posters everywhere, like super creepy like. But I guess like the thing where I'm like, it's a bit of a stretch for me, is because they make the pro-lifers out to be like more ridiculous than dangerous, and I'm all for making a fool out of these people, because you know they are wearing fucking clown masks. Yeah. But like the whites in Get Out were actually scary, you know, like. But anyways, after that is the Mad Max allegedly inspired era, because they go on this like crazy like car chase, and yeah, the Mad Max style like fake their deaths and stuff is really fun. After that, it's like the most, oh actually before I get there, the most Thelma and Louise part of all is when they're doing that Mad Max style part, because literally Bailey references one of the lines in the movie of Thelma and Louise where she's like, we should just keep going and go off a cliff and die. And Veronica's like, what the fuck, no. She's like, I'm just fucking with you, let's just make them think that. And like, they hop out of the car, but they make a literal Thelma and Louise like reference, which is really cool.
Wow. So okay,
after that they fake their deaths, they go they find a new way to get to Albuquerque with the guy that plays Gus on Breaking Bad, Giancarlo Esposito. Fun fact, he's also in Do the Right Thing. And then of course like here and there, like this is a part where they're already on their way, like they're finally gonna get this done, but Veronica, who has like here and there been like slipping back to her old life, and like she separated her like real life from her like unpregnant life and like friendship with Bailey side, so she's completely separated these two parts, but every now and then she kind of like slips back, and she like gets on Instagram, she's like, oh no, I haven't posted in 10 hours, or like her friends are calling and she like does all this shit. So of course, like, even though they've overcome all these conflicts, the real fucking conflict is gonna be between their friendship, right? So Bailey overhears Veronica basically like throwing her under the bus, and then she's like, fuck this, I'm oot, and then she like leaves basically in the middle of Albuquerque. And inevitably there's like a fallout between friendship that happens in all the movies, like Booksmart, Plan B later we'll talk about, and then this movie, like
yep.
All of them, like it's just like really heart-wrenching, like friendship breaks apart moment, and that's what happens after this. And they fight, and then like Veronica realizes what's going on, and then she's like, oh, I gotta find her, and then she goes after her, and then she like, you know, actions over words, and she like saves her and like sticks up for her and tases her dad and stuff. It was like whole thing. But it's cool. Anyways, we get past that, we get to the clinic, finally there, everything's copacetic. This is again where like Veronica has to like face her real life versus her like secret life, I guess, I don't know. But she has to like face her psycho boyfriend who like stalks her and like meets her at the clinic. And she's like beginning to like be more okay with blurring the lines. So she's like, she risks having him like expose her for her abortion and do all these things and fuck up her life. And she dumps his ass, right? Because she's like, I don't want to be with you. The funnily enough, the most like least eventful, like most peaceful, chill part of this whole movie is like the clinic, the abortion experience, you know what I mean? Like, it was really refreshing because I've seen a few representations of like this really clinical, like awkward experience, and that's what's usually like shown. It's like, you know, the fluorescent lights and showing the character's trauma by having them cry or making you feel bad for them. Like, this is the opposite of that. It's like the whole process is a relief, right? She's taking this weight off her shoulders. It's almost like peaceful, and it's not a scare tactic for people that have to get an abortion. So I appreciate that whole scene. It's really nice. But yeah, in the end, she kind of like chooses to tell the truth when it comes to her mom, which kind of makes, you know, you would usually think like, damn, you went through all this shit so that you wouldn't have to tell your mom, and now you tell your mom. But
she went through so much.
So much. But obviously, since the trip led to all these realizations and stuff, like, she doesn't feel like it's a waste of time or anything. But anyways, finally, the last fucking hurdle to jump is when Veronica is back to school, back to her real life. Her friend, like, her old friends are there. She seems like she's gotten away with the abortion thing. She doesn't have, nobody has to know. She can just like slip into this like facade that she's been behind. But she decides to break down that wall. Like, no more divide between who she is and who she wants people to see. So she chooses to not be ashamed of her abortion, and she like tells them. And then she also chooses to go like sit with Bailey at the cafeteria, and so, you know, pro-choice, that's what the whole point is, all right? Pro-choice to hang out with the weirdo lesbian loser instead of that's what life should be about. Always choose the lesbians.
If you're true to yourself, be true to your lesbian friend.
That's right. That's the cute. Most loyal bitches around. Well, not always, but you know.
He said no. Oh, I'm sorry.
In this case.
Yeah. Oh my god. So
I love this movie. I think it's so fucking good. On many, many levels. I think it's really funny. The dialogue is great. I found myself laughing. All they do is fucking sing that one song by, God, what's her name?
Britney Spears. Who was it?
She was on Britney. American Idol, but she didn't win. Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Since you've been gone. Since they just sing that over and over. Yeah.
Wow, that's a song. Anyways, we love a Texas queen, a DFW queen.
Shout out to representation.
Hey.
But yeah, no cafecitos from me. What did you? You've seen this, right?
Yeah, I love that movie. It's like it's probably gonna be a four pandustas for me, because I like the next one I'm gonna talk about, which is basically the same thing, but you know, switched. I like that one more. Just a little bit. But yeah, four bandulces.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this next film, you compared a lot to this film, Gone Pregnant.
Yeah.
I see the similarities between that film and Booksmart a lot more. Plot wise, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. They're different, but a lot of it feels similar because of the gay thing. Like, that's a running theme between all three of them. So I'm going to be talking...
have a sidekick lesbian.
A sidekick lesbian. And I'm cool with that. That's the most rap I've ever seen in my whole life. So I'm going to be talking about Plan B. I want to talk about the director because we all know her. And, you know, Latinx representation or whatever, I guess. Natalie Morales directed it. And she's Cuban, so we claim her.
Openly bisexual, gay.
And openly bisexual, gay. So she's checking off literally all the boxes we asked for. And I don't know if you remember Abby. Do you remember Abby?
Abby's the show with the, about yes. the bar that only lasted one season because it got zero promotion. Yeah. Fuck networks. But
I fucking
on.
Watched the shit out of that show. It was so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, me too. So she was bisexual on there too.
Yes, basically. And then you also know her from Parks and Rec. And I think, like, the really important part is going to be the director and the writers. So Natalie Morales being the director and having a Latina from Corpus Christi play someone in the movie, I feel like that's really good to be in that kind of conversation. So they can be, like, I don't know. I feel like that's – I love that. I love that. I think it's super cool. The writers are best friends. So that kind of changes the dynamic of, like, the dialogue and everything. Like, you can see it in the writing of this. You can see this, like, deep friendship. And their writing partners, Joshua Levy, and I'm going to say your name wrong, and I apologize in advance, Pratishka Siravasan. They're best friends. It's a dude and a lady. And I think that's super cool. There's really good conversation and dialogue in this movie. I can just, like, fan out about that still. And then you're gonna have Sunny, who's played by Kuo Verma. She's awesome in this. Her fucking acting, dude, like, I really, like, just keep casting this woman. I think she's gonna do amazing things. Then there's Lupe, Victoria Morelos, and she's from Corpus. She's from Texas, so what up. Logan is who we love and why you watched this movie, right?
No, I didn't know Logan was in this movie. It was a very nice surprise. That's why you watched this movie, because I told you.
Yes. It was literally why I watched this movie, because you told me Mahala Harold from an industry. She's the whole reason I watch this show, and I can't pronounce her name, so I apologize in advance as well. Like, I'm sorry. And then Hunter, who is played by Michael Provost, he played, like, a non-threatening white guy, which is weird. They all feel threatening to me, but that's fine, you know.
To each his own.
Well, not all white boys, actually. Y'all cool. Y'all all right. Some of y'all.
Not all men.
No. Oh, Lord. Look at me. But yeah, so, okay. One of my favorite things about this movie is just basically it did what the other two movies didn't, which was they put two leads that were people of color. One of them was Latina and the other one was Southeast Asian. And I think that alone changes the POV, changes the perspective of who's talking and the jokes they're able to make. And honestly, like, that's such a nuance that you can't really see is when, like, brown people get together and make fun of white people. Like, it's a thing. We do it. Not all the time, but it's the same way that y'all, like, microaggress us and then we clown y'all for it. Like, that's real life. And there's a lot of microaggressions happening. Like, there's one time the girls are both in the shower. Anyways, this has nothing to do with the plot. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what I like about it. Let me back up for a little bit. It's about two girls who go on a very small road trip. It's more kind of like staying up all night within 24 hours. So I guess it's an all-night movie, not necessarily a road trip. No, it's both. And
I would consider it a road trip movie.
Road trip movie? Okay. So that's where, you know, it's pulling from Unpregnant. It's a road trip movie. And then I feel like it's also pulling from Booksmart because they're up all night partying, doing really ridiculous things and going from place to place. Because
it's like a mission. It's mm-hmm. road trippy, but it's also like a mission movie, which is like, that's the same thing with these people. These two kids are like, they isolate for the most part. They're mm-hmm. like, you know, it's just them two against the world type of thing. And then yes. they decide to branch out and then chaos ensues, you know?
And I love that. Like, they go on this 24-hour mission to get Plan B, and they're in South Dakota, and they have to go all the way to Rapid City in North Dakota to get birth control, because in the state of South Dakota you can't apparently get Plan B if the person decides to not sell it to you. Like, they can just be like, nah. Fucking
conscience clause, like, what the fuck is that,
bruh?
Like, they can, like, a not doctor, like just some random dude at a store, can be like, no, I'm not gonna give you Plan B because I don't fucking feel like it. Who comes up with these laws?
Guys, I mean, we know who comes out with these laws. Please vote, y'all. Please do something, y'all, because it's getting wild. It's really restrictive. But yeah, so, and it's about two best friends on a road trip, and I really feel like it's pulling from, like, buddy movies that men get to make, you know, like Cheech and Chong, or like, that's kind of my only reference, because I didn't really watch a lot of white guy movies other than Cheech and Chong, which was because
the other ones are like cop movies, buddy cop movies.
I can't enjoy a cop. That, I mean, no, I never did as a child. No, Cheech and Chong though. It has like that kind of like buddy adventure shit going on that I really like, and it's just happy, and I feel like this movie would pass the Toni Morrison test. If anything, she'd be like, okay, it's cute though, because you know, they could have taken it further, but I really like what they did, because it was such a light movie. It was about giving brown people joy, and then if y'all got some joy out of it, that's cool too, because there were some jokes for y'all, you know, y'all look a little funny. It was really funny to me, because there's a white guy that does magic, and then there's the jock. So there's a lot of things they're doing that I find interesting that you wouldn't be able to find in Unpregnant or Booksmart. Although I really, really like both of those movies, and I prefer Booksmart just because I feel like it's very well done and very well acted, because Beanie is queen. But, and so is Caitlin. But
the actors kind of had a lot of, like, they were similar even in that way. Like, obviously the actors in Booksmart are white, but like the main character was very Beanie Feldstein in her comedy, and she was also like short and thick, you know, and then like the other character was also a lesbian and like, you know, thinner, but also more, they were actually probably not that, they're not that similar beyond that.
No,
but
they're not.
The Beanie Feldstein-esque character thing definitely came through.
Yes, yes. And the difference between like Booksmart and them is that what Plan B does really well is that it was able to create that type A, type B personality thing, but also give them separate identities. Where I think like Booksmart, it was kind of
they were tied together. Yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of just, you know, straight girls bonding. So, I mean, yeah. Yeah. Like they weren't, but you know what I mean? Like there was this twinness going on, versus in Plan B, one of them is a goth and one of them is the perfect academic student, you know, they're nerdy, they get great grades, and their best friend is the stoner gay Mexican chick, and that's hilarious.
It's just cute. Which, like, in their friendship, that was a difference, and also the difference that threw me off guard, and I think was probably the thing that bothered me the most, but it might be a personal thing, was that obviously in Booksmart, like, Caitlin has told Beanie Feldstein character, like, I'm gay, like, she tells her, so that's her best friend, she tells her that, right? But in Plan B, it's a secret, like, she doesn't tell her best friend in the entire world that she's gay, but everything else is okay, armpit hair is okay, like, all these other, like, crude comments, the weed, like, everything is okay, except she doesn't tell her that she's gay, and that threw me off, like, a lot, because, you know, gays tend to be very, like, found family-ish, and so the fact that she didn't do that with her best friend was just odd to me, and it bothered me, but I mean, obviously it went well afterwards.
No, I mean, yeah, it went well afterwards, but you're right, that is like a really interesting dynamic of friendship if you weren't able to tell them that you were queer. And they were talking to this person throughout the movie, and it felt like this kind of like mid bang reveal, like, oh, Logan's the hot girl playing the drums from Industry. And like,
yeah,
I just think that's cool, but I don't know how cool it was, you know, because, like, we all knew it, we felt it coming, and it didn't feel like too much of a surprise. You didn't know?
I mean, I didn't know, but, like, nobody had told me ahead of time. Like, I no offense, but I told you ahead of time.
Oh.
Like, I didn't know. I was just watching this movie because I wanted to support Natalie Morales, you know?
Oh, okay. No, I read, like, two articles or something where someone say, like, oh, there's a gay Latina in it or something. And
yeah,
that's why I was like, oh, I'm watch it. Shit.
If they keep it from me, if they keep it from the screen, I understand that. But then keeping it from the other character, I was like, all right, weird choice, but okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is what it is. I guess it revealed another layer of this character that didn't necessarily need to be hidden. But I really appreciated the dynamic within their friendship, the two girls with Sunny and Lupe. I really, like, thought the movie centered around, like, a healthy, well, sometimes not healthy friendship, but, like, they actually just really loved each other through everything. And it's nice to see, like, platonic love, even if it's, like, any kind of love between brown people. It's just nice to see even platonic love. And I think friendship's really important. So I thought that was really, like, a, like, oozing representation to me. Like, I was just like, oh, what? Yes. Like, we need more, like, friend movies. Yeah. That's so lame. yeah. Friend movies are important, guys. But no, like, I really appreciated their dynamic and what they go through and how they grow and showing brown women be vulnerable with each other instead of strong or stereotypically, like, when you have two brown women in a movie, it tends to become, like, trauma porn and, like, a struggle. And, in this movie, we didn't see that. And that's why I say they passed the Toni Morrison test, is that we're getting joy and we're getting love. And who's it for, you know? Because I think it's mainly for us. And I think it was done, as everyone has been saying, I think NPR said that it felt like they did everything with a lot of care for all of the characters. They gave everyone a lot of, like, love. And it felt neatly done, as much as it could be, about, like, the topic. And the topic was that, you know, they're having to fight these really, really fucked up fucking schmabortion laws and Plan B laws. Like, it's a really interesting point of view, because whereas Booksmart is in California, already very liberal place, like, this was taking place in a very rural, forgotten part of America, supposedly, in South Dakota, which I think it is kind of forgotten. But, and I think most Americans are feeling forgotten right now, so maybe they made it from that POV too, that brown people are out there. There's just a lot of layers to this movie that I appreciate, that it feels nuanced, it feels thought out, and I think that's really important to see a movie with brown women in it, or black women. Yeah, everybody's in this, actually.
You bring up a really good point, though, like, mm-hmm. the whole, like, living out in, like, the boonies, living out in, like, not the city life, it does start to feel a little more relatable in that way, because mm-hmm. yeah, like, throwing random parties and going to random, like, shows, like, going out of your way to go find something to fucking do, like, all of that, yeah, that was very much on point, like,
yeah.
All these, like, you know, not Hollywood kids, you know,
yeah,
it was nice to see a party not thrown at a fucking mansion, like, in Booksmart. Yeah,
these were, like, regular ass houses.
Yeah, in that way, I almost wish that they had honed in more on that, the fact that this is, like, small town, like, kids that are probably all thinking about where they're gonna move to, like, no one's planning on staying there type of vibe, mm-hmm. which is what I kind of grew up around. I don't know, I wonder, like, if that would have gone somewhere, but that's an interesting perspective to look at it from, because the whole time I was just looking at it like, oh, that's the character on Booksmart that they're, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like,
the similarities are there, like, there's so many, but
the person, you know, that's, like, on drugs, and then they have to, like, wrangle them in, you know, like,
yeah.
The ending up at random parties thing, the hooking up in a bathroom thing, just so much.
There's a lot there, and I appreciate it from this POV. It's a unique one. It's not one we get to see a lot, and it was so well done. And shout out to everybody who made this shit. Y'all really did that. I don't know.
I feel like both of the films kind of went under the radar, and I hope that more people find out about them and watch them, because like reproductive rights in America are like truly fucked up, like from state to state fucked up. So yeah, it would be great to highlight that stuff and not go straight to streaming, like go to theater type of shit.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting watch, especially those car scenes and those chase scenes, one being with a person and then in your movie one with a car. So I think that would have been interesting to see, like, visually too. Hopefully one day more movies, they make like 38,000 more of these movies and that's all we have, and we no longer watch white men do things. I mean, if you want to, but hopefully this, it's not, we'll see. But I give it 4.5 panduses. It made me really happy, and talking about it makes me want to watch it again because it was so fucking ridiculous. Like, there's so many things in there that, like, I'm just laughing my little ass off. Like, I'm having a blast watching this. So 4.5 panduses for me.
Nice. I would just literally just, I would probably give it like a half cafecito, just like, because it was just too similar to too much.
Yeah.
You know, I understand a reference and I understand like paying homage and stuff. It's just like, to me, it was just, maybe it was just because like this is my niche and it's just like I've seen so much of it that I was just like, oh, these are like pieces of other things put in this. But I like having heard your perspective of it and the small townness of it, because that's what I've written in the past, right? Like this small town found family-ish, like random occurrences, and yeah, I love that perspective for sure.
Right, so it's unique, and it, you know, it has its own thing, you know, chef's kiss.
But I love the queers, so you know, even though I'm now straight,
you're straight now, and now I can finally be gay. Can't wait to be gay. God. I'm so excited, like when this comes out I'm gay, like oh Lord. Anyways,
great fucking movies, so go watch both of them. You're gonna find similarities between them. If you've seen Booksmart, you'll find some similarities there. Like, if you've seen Thelma and Louise, you'll find some similarities there. But like, yeah, nobody does it like female directors. Nope. It's just like all the other shit that you've seen is even more recycled than what we're seeing here. Like, this is at least from the perspective, the non-male gaze perspective, which is also going to be refreshing no matter what.
Yes, we need more of it, so I don't know, we'll see.
All right guys, well, we just passed our 4-year anniversary and we like forgot to mention it, so
it's 4 years. Are you sure? What year was it? 2018? 2017. hold on, I gotta do math.
17 to 18 to 19 to 20 to 21. Yeah, 4 years.
Oh fuck,
so that's cool.
Honestly, I lose track of time. Like, I didn't even know how long we were going anymore.
I like, we're already halfway through summer and I had like no idea.
Yeah, no, I think Pat asked me one time and I was like, I don't know, dude, like a while, like I can't give you a number. I've never counted, dude, I have no idea. So
yeah, four years in like the beginning of June. So happy June to us, and go support us on Patreon, you know, 4 years strong. I promise you that there's content there for you. patreon.com/CYC podcast. We also have our non-pridey merch out, the tie-dye editions, that will be linked in the description and on our website, cabronasychinganas.com. And yeah, so just keep supporting, or at the, you know, if you can't, you know, financially support, that's not even a big deal. Honestly, we fucking love reviews, so please leave us a review on iTunes.
5 stars. 5 stars only.
And then like let us know that you did it, and then we'll send you stickers for freezies. So yeah, thanks you guys for 4 years, whoever stuck around that long, like bless you and all of that.
Yeah, you deserve it's like God's miracles. Yeah. You're beautiful and perfect, and
you're beautiful.
Oh my god. All right, y'all. Y'all know where to follow us. Do they know? Did we already?
They might. I don't know. At CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Maite Panda, MYTE Panda on everything.
And I'm at Fried Papita, so just make sure to follow, subscribe, like, send it to your homegirl and your abuela. Bye, y'all.
All of that. Bye.